Broadcasting live from the True Crime Today studios to the world. This is Murder in the Morning with Tony Bruschi and Stacey Cole.
From the Hit Killers podcast, Murder in the Morning.
More progress being made by Scott Peterson, the convicted killer of his wife, Lacey Peterson. He appeared before a San Mateo County judge via Zoom, and his legal team, led by Los Angeles Innocence Project, sought approval for DNA testing on key evidence they argue could lead to a new trial. Peterson, convicted of killing his pregnant wife, Lacey Peterson, and their unborn son, Connor, in 2002, has consistently maintained his innocence. Paula Mitchell, director of the LA Innocence Project, is urging Judge Elizabeth Hill to authorize the testing of several items, including a blood-stained mattress found in a burned-out van near the Modesto airport. Mitchell emphasized that Modesto police failed to investigate whether the van fire was connected to Lacey Peterson's case. Authorities, however, have dismissed any link between the blaze and the murder. The defense also seeks to test evidence recovered near the bodies of Lacey and Connor, whose remains surfaced along the Richmond shoreline in 03, as well as items tied to a burglary across the street from the Peterson's Modesto home. Peterson's legal team insists that all requested evidence is available, well-preserved, and maintains an unbroken chain of custody suitable for DNA testing. The case has always been about getting to the truth, and DNA testing can provide answers that weren't available during the original trial, Mitchell stated. Prosecutors oppose the motion, arguing that existing evidence already proved Peterson's guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. They point to the jury's 04 conviction, which resulted in Peterson being sentenced to life in prison without parole. The trial relocated from Modesto to San Mateo County due to extensive pretrial publicity, included testimony that Peterson took Lacey's body aboard his boat and dumped it in the San Francisco Bay on Christmas Eve of 02. Peterson, who has attended recent hearings from Mule Creek State Prison via Zoom, maintains that he was fishing in the bay on the day of Lacey's disappearance. His defense team asserts that DNA testing could uncover evidence implicating other suspects to provide critical context about items near the crime scene. So he went out, he went fishing on a boat that he claimed was going to be a gift for his father-in-law that nobody even really knew he had. On Christmas Eve, he drove like 2 hours-ish to a lake that didn't make any sense to go to, and just happened to be fishing in this place he's never gone before, 2 hours away on a boat he's never used before, fishing for sturgeon with a line, which you really can't do. And it just happens to be that Lacey's body was found and Connor's body was found right in the same area.
Gosh.
Yeah. I kind of see why the jury found you guilty. But, you know, there are thousands of cases every year that we go through that, yeah, it looks dead to rights. Like, this is truly what it has to be. And then sometimes in court, things pop up and you go, oh shit, maybe there is something else. And I don't know what it is here because I do not see it. I don't see where he's going with this other than like, let's just hope something is contaminated with somebody else's DNA and it's going to lead to like possible reasonable doubt and maybe then he can be released on some sort of thing, because maybe, maybe not, we're not quite sure. Almost Menendez, like, to a certain extent, but we know what they did, but there's other things there. The case, of course, was huge. I'm not trying to sound like
that's an understatement.
Huge. It was the hugest case in the world, the biggest case ever. It really was. It was on everything. It gripped the national attention. And everybody after 9/11 was looking for something to pay attention to other than 9/11. So they paid attention to Scott Peterson. It gripped the national attention the moment Lacey disappeared. It continues to polarize public opinion. Obviously, during the initial investigation, Peterson gave interviews, including the now famous sit down with Court TV anchor Ted Rollins to plead his innocence, which was a really shitty interview. It did not help him at all. Despite his efforts, mounting evidence led to his arrest and subsequent conviction. And I'm not saying shitty to Ted. So I wanted that to be clear. I like that. But I'm saying Scott really completely failed that fucking interview. Mitchell and the LA Innocence Project remain hopeful that Judge Hill would grant their motion, emphasizing the importance of utilizing modern forensic techniques to ensure justice. We're asking for the chance to use tools that weren't available 2 decades ago. It's not about revisiting old arguments. It's about finding the truth through science, Mitchell said, which, you know what? I'm all for. I think it's kind of stupid when the prosecutors are like, we already did this. We're done. No, you didn't. There's new things to look at. And if you're just as strong in the case that you believe it is, let's just take a look. It doesn't mean it goes back to trial. It doesn't mean anything of that. It just means, okay, let's run it through what we have today. And if it comes through the same way we thought it would, then fucking case closed. If it comes back with other shit, then yeah, I'm sorry. You kind of, maybe you got to admit you're wrong. Or maybe there's another possibility of something else going on here. The hearing represents a pivotal moment for Peterson, whose life sentence leaves him few remaining avenues of appeal. The courtroom battle continues, of course, this high-profile case is going to stay on everyone's mind, and we'll keep following it. I don't know. We could see something here. I mean, even if it does eventually get some attention here in form of the evidence, Scott's not getting out anytime soon. We're probably talking at least several years for a trial and all of that to come back to light. But could you imagine? I mean, I could. I could see this actually going back to trial. Not initially when we first heard about it, but now there's a lot of things they didn't look into. There just is. And they should have crossed them off their checkbox when they could have, so they don't come back all these years later as, why didn't you do this?
Yeah, and it's surprising that it hasn't come up sooner, because we've had the DNA technology for quite some time now.
Yeah.
We didn't have it back then, or it was just budding and not widely available. I'm really surprised that they have all of this evidence still preserved, including that bloody mattress. Ew.
They have a piece of the bloody mattress.
A piece, okay. Well, to me, that doesn't say enough.
Why did you take it if there was nothing about it, if there was no weird thing about it that you were wondering about? Why did they take that as evidence? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know why we can't just honestly say, no matter what you feel about Scott Peterson, yeah, take a look at it. I mean, it could incriminate him more. You may find Scott's DNA on that mattress by some chance. So why not take a look? But if it shows that she was in that van, I don't know really what it means. Other than she was in that van, it doesn't necessarily take Scott out of the equation, though, either, with all of the other insane coincidences, if they were, of being at the lake and just the whole story. And he changed his story. And yes, Amber Fry is a whole other deal in this. But
I was going to bring that up.
But
yeah, his pregnant wife.
Yeah.
He's stepping out.
It shows his ability to not give a shit about those he cared about most, an ability to just kind of flip a switch and be a different person. And there's people that are just like that. It is what it is. It's called narcissism, and malignant narcissism, when you can pull it off that way. And it's a huge fucking personality disorder. And it's, kind of like insane to the rest of us, but to some people, it's their superpower. And they're able to live in that world and operate in that world without any sort of issues. So could this still be more of Scott Peterson's narcissism coming out, going, yeah, look into this. It could possibly be this. Yes, 1,000%. It could be the ultimate malignant narcissist coming back and saying, please look into that. And he may even believe at this point that he didn't do anything if he did. Or maybe he didn't do it. But why not look? Why not take a look?
Well, again, especially with the technology, if you've got the stuff, take a look at it, see what it says. But again, how do you explain where the body was found and you being there 2 hours away? How do you explain that, Scott?
Exactly. Insane coincidences that it's not like he was close to the house. It's not like he was in a lake maybe he would normally go to if he had had a boat previously.
Right. Well, yeah, that's the other thing. His technique about fishing. Talk to any guy who spends his weekends fishing and you talk to them about how he was going about doing this, they'd be like, what?
You and me are from Wisconsin. The rest of the world doesn't know a lot about sturgeon spearing. But unless you're in other parts of the world that do it, which is not a lot. But it's a thing. I mean, you spear them. That's how you catch them. They don't fucking bite on bait. You can't. No, you don't reel these fuckers in like a shark or something. And they're in fresh water. I think there are saltwater ones, but that's not how it works. He was out there saying he's fishing for sturgeon with bait.
Mm-mm.
Not spearing, and that takes a season in laws. It doesn't make any. And either he's a complete fucking idiot and decided I'm going to be a fisherman and go get a boat and go try and fish for fish, which could be true. I mean, there are morons out there, or just misinformed people, or people who don't know anything about a sport that they want to get into. And if you're getting into something you know nothing about, you usually make some stupid mistakes first right off the bat if nobody's there to guide you. And then somebody says, you did what? That's not how you do it. And you go, oh, shit. Okay, thanks for telling me. Or you dig in and go, fuck it, I'm going to catch a sturgeon with these minnows. Mm-hmm. You never fucking know.
Minnows.
But it's not going to work, but you go ahead and believe that, Scott. I feel like there's ways that all of this could be a perfect storm of just really bad circumstances and really stupid things that look extremely guilty. Do I think he killed her? Yeah, I do. Is there a possibility that he didn't? Yeah, there probably is. And this could be just one of those weird needle in a haystack cases where it's like, look, everything looks the wrong way, but it is the other. That does, in fact, happen. And that's what could make this case so elusive. I don't know, but I think there's nothing wrong with going back and taking a look. We would certainly have a new piece to this case if, in fact, her DNA is found on that mattress. It would open up a lot of questions about it. Does it open it up enough to have Scott Peterson get a new trial? I don't know about that, but it certainly would, I think, bring the investigation back into active status if that were to be found.
Well, and I'm a firm believer that every avenue should be explored, especially now with new technology.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead and test the stuff.
Especially
but
even
again,
after
I
conviction,
don't
even.
Think yeah. It completely exonerates him.
No, it doesn't, but it's a step in a direction of something we didn't know before. And information is good. We can't just sit here and go, well, we found out all these years ago that this is what it is. Well, you didn't have this technology to look at it this way or that way. We do now. Why don't we take a look at it this way or that way? And if it still stands up, stands up. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Nobody should have like really anything in the game other than wanting the truth. And I don't see anything wrong with that for anyone post-conviction. If there is evidence out there to exonerate you or show that there's something different than what was originally pitched to that jury. It doesn't make you innocent immediately, but it allows the truth to be told, which I think the victims have every right to have that out there versus what the narrative is from some attorney in court arguing this way or that way. So
it's going to be interesting to watch this. That's for sure.
There's another case right now that we're watching where DNA is playing a big part. That's the Koberger case and genetic genealogy, that's how it's said. And the defense of Koberger is trying to throw out there how, oh, this is junk science and this and that. It's not. It's been used in countless cases. It's how they found the Golden State Killer. It's how they found many other killers. It's been around now for 10 years ish. It's always improving, and they have it, you know, a little more mainstream than it used to be, but the facts don't lie. The only argument you can make with IgG is the efficacy of how you're getting the data. And it's really arguing saying, well, the person who gave this information to 23andMe or to Ancestry or whatever didn't know that it could be used to convict a family member if they're guilty of a crime, is basically what it's saying. And if they knew that, maybe they wouldn't have given that DNA. It's saying they didn't know that it could be used in something other than just finding out if you're relating to a Viking. so that's the main argument. It's not necessarily, is the data invalid? It's how is it gathered? And that's what the Koberger team is trying to argue. But here's the reality. The facts are facts. The DNA is there. Whether you view getting this information from an ancestry type database versus CODIS, that's really kind of a matter of opinion. It doesn't negate the fact of what the DNA shows.
Right. But keep in mind too, we live in a country where we have laws about how evidence is acquired. So just in the off chance, and I'm not saying that this happened, but let's say they acquired this stuff illegally, I'm not saying they did, but they violated his rights as they had collected it. Suddenly that gets tossed out. And I have argued with an attorney I know about but wait a minute, what if they did it and you have all this evidence and it was collected wrong, but it still proves they did it?
Yeah.
Well, it goes against our rules.
Yeah.
You have to be read the Miranda rights. If you're not, everything that happens after that point is null and void.
It goes to the bureaucracy of it. I mean, and they're there for a place. There's certain times and places where you're going to want to use that. But that's the case how it's going to be with anything who's arguing their side is right. I mean, if it was the opposite, I'm sure the prosecution would be saying it's junk science. If it's the defense, they're going to say, depending on who it's going to work out for, they're going to make all their statements that they want. At the end of the day, though, just understand, any attorney that's saying that IgG is junk science is lying out of their ass to protect their client. That is not a fact. It is not remotely fucking true. It is very reliable science. I mean, to a degree that's unfathomably not wrong.
There are a lot of people sitting in jail cells right now that were locked up because of it.
Yeah.
So it's not junk science.
You're probably more likely to have a meteorite strike you through your house and die tonight than for Brian Koberger's DNA to not have been an accurate match to that knife sheath.
It's an interesting thought.
And that's just, it is what it is. So you're going to see a lot of arguments about that in the next 6 months to a year until this case gets to court. But I just put out a new piece. It's dropping actually today. It's about IgG. We go and break down, it's like a half hour piece. It's on YouTube. It's on our podcast channels. And it talks about where did this science come from? Who came up with it? How did it get where it is today? And how is it being used and how reliable is it? And as we broke through all of that, just watch it. It's extremely clear how reliable the science actually is. And I think we have some interviews from back not that long ago. Dan, what's his name?
Dan Crane.
Dan Crane. He's talked about that on the. I should bring one of those back up and because he's always has a lot of insight into the DNA testing. Mm-hmm. But he'd be a good. Actually, I'd like to talk to him soon. See about that, Stacy. Please.
I will do that.
Stacy schedules our interviews. So yeah, I'd like to have Dan back on soon to discuss that specifically in this case. But anyway, do check that out if you have any questions about what's going on with the Koberger case. Whatever side you're on, just take a listen. Take the info in, absorb it, see what you get out of it. But it's going to be brought up quite a bit here in the next year. So understand what it is as it's being presented to you.
All right, true crime addicts, let's cut the crap. You're knee deep in the gory details of your favorite podcast when suddenly a commercial hits like a bad meal. Seriously? You deserve better. Upgrade to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, where you can binge without those annoying ads. Plus, get extended interviews that go deeper into the darkness and early access to episodes so you can be the first to know. It's like trading up from fast food to fine dining, but with more blood. So, go ahead. Search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and feast on the good stuff.